Welcome to the Experience Darden podcast. I'm your host, Brett Twitty, and you are listening to a new episode. On this episode of the podcast, I'm excited to share a conversation I recently recorded with two first-year students in our class of 2021, Megan Bailey and Enrique Lopez. Megan and Enrique were recently elected to the Darden Student Association, and I invited them on the podcast to talk a little bit more about their backgrounds, what attracted them to serving on the DSA, how things are going as they wrap up quarter four, and more. So without further ado, here's my interview with Megan Bailey and Enrique Lopez. Megan, Enrique, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
We're happy to be here.
All right. Well, so appreciative of you taking time out of your schedules to come here and spend a little time with us. First and foremost, before we get started, Enrique, how is everything where you are? Where are you calling in from today?
Sure. Yeah, I'm calling from Charlottesville, from my apartment just across the street at Darden. And it's been quiet here, but the weather's getting nice. So it's been enjoyable to get outside here in Charlottesville.
So glad to hear that. This is always a beautiful time. For those of you who haven't had a chance to spend much time in Charlottesville yet, April, May, great time to be there. Megan, how about you? Where are you calling from today? How are you doing?
I'm great, thanks. I am calling from sunny South Florida. I drove down here a few days ago to visit my parents and my family. I thought it was a good time to take a break before heading back to Charlottesville to start my internship remotely. So it's been really nice to enjoy the sunny weather, and it actually has made me realize the things I miss about Charlottesville. So I'm excited to get back later this week.
That's excellent. Well, I'm glad both of you are doing well. We invited you on the podcast because you are the newly elected Darden Student Association leaders. But before we get to that point and talk about your roles as the DSA leadership or in the DSA leadership team, wanted to talk about your background and what led you to pursue an MBA. What brought you to Darden? So, Megan, let's start with you. What's your background? How did you make the decision to pursue an MBA? And ultimately, what led you to choose Darden?
I have a very entrepreneurial background and career path. I've been starting small businesses since I was 13. And I studied entrepreneurship when I went to undergrad at Florida State University. And my goal has always been to start a business. I started a business as a sophomore in college that I ran for 5 years. And it had some successes, but overall, I felt like I was always missing something, and there was a next level that I wasn't getting to, and I felt like I was lacking some skills and formal professional education that could help me get to that next level. And I also had good timing in my life at that time, because my husband is in the Army and he had 2 years left in his commitment to the Army. So I felt like it was a really good time for me to pursue an MBA, and Darden presented a lot of really amazing opportunities for me in the area of entrepreneurship. So that's a little bit about my background and where I hope to go.
You had mentioned starting a business while you were in college. What was the nature of the business?
The business I started when I was a sophomore in college is called the Cooler Nation. And it's a big tradition at colleges all across the country, especially within Greek life with sororities and fraternities, to paint coolers. It's a tradition for the fraternities to go on these formal weekends, and it's become popular for their dates in the sororities or on campus to paint the fraternity member a cooler with all of his favorite sports teams or hobbies, or his name painted on top, a customized paintable cooler. And before a cooler is painted, a lot of prep work goes into preparing it so that the paint adheres long term. And it's a really labor-intensive process that's hard for people who are living in dorms and sorority houses. So I started selling the coolers ready to paint. So I would sand them with a power sander, spackle the indented logo, and prime them. and it got really popular at Florida State, and then it exploded, and I sold online all over the country and even internationally. So it was a cool little business for a few years, and a really niche market that was fun to operate in.
That's amazing. Not a market I knew much about.
Yeah.
Know much about. So, you know, they always say the best business ideas come from trying to solve a problem. It seems like who knew that a cooler, you know, preparing a cooler in that way took all those steps. I didn't know that. So, Enrique, how about you? What's your background? How did you decide to pursue an MBA, and what brought you to Darden?
Yeah, of course. So I'm originally from Brazil, but I've been in the United States since high school. And I also attended university in Florida, at University of Central Florida down in Orlando. And I studied engineering there. So before Darden, I was working at Siemens Energy. And I did a variety of different roles there in engineering and operations. But I started getting the itch and desire to take the next step in my career, and also kind of pivot away from technical roles and more into a business management role. So that's kind of what got my mind thinking about an MBA. And Darden was a perfect fit for me for several reasons, but the location, the community, the focus on general management, are just some of them, the case method as well. So it was a perfect way to achieve the goals that I had in mind with the MBA.
So Enrique, they always talk about the first year of Darden being such a formative experience and such a busy year. How you're at the end, you're just wrapping up quarter four here. How's your first year gone? What's been your experience? Any big adjustments over the course of the year?
Yeah, it's, you know, the recruiting process was very challenging. It was more challenging than I expected. But honestly, looking back now after that's over, it couldn't have gone any better. Being able to take all the steps that I wanted to, got the internship, my dream internship, and met some amazing people, which is something I was seeking for within the Darden experience, is to make lifelong friendships. So there's definitely been a lot of adjustments, and there's definitely not been some hard times, but looking back now that the hard times are over, it couldn't have gone any better.
Megan, how about you? How's your first year been?
Yeah, I definitely echo everything that Enrique mentioned. My first year exceeded a lot of expectations, and I had high expectations for Darden for sure, as people should when they go into an MBA program like this. But the community at Darden is really, really special. The relationships that are formed here, and it takes time, like any relationships do, but over the past almost four quarters now, I've formed really deep, meaningful connections with people. And it's interesting too, because it's with people who are not just like me. Something I really appreciate that Darden encourages and provides opportunities to foster are relationships with people who are not like us. And we challenge each other. Enrique challenges me all the time. But it's done in a really kind and loving way. And that's been something that I don't know if I expected or realized how much that would impact me. And then on the career front, it's been really, it also has surprised me, because I came into Darden pretty focused on one career path of starting a small business. And through different experiences at Darden, it just opens your eyes to new possibilities, and gets you excited about other things you can do, and it makes you really feel inspired that you can achieve other possibilities. So it's been an amazing experience, very inspiring, and super meaningful. So I've loved it so far.
Megan, let's stick with you for this next question, at least getting started with it. What was the biggest adjustment for you? And I'm sure some of our listeners are incoming class of 2022 members thinking about that first year. What took the most adjustment for you?
I think two things. One is personal and one is professional. So on the personal side for me, I was coming from living with my husband for 3 years. And he, like I mentioned, he's in the Army. So we started a long distance relationship when I came to Darden. So that was a big adjustment. And I was living with two roommates who are awesome. But in itself, it was just an adjustment. And so I think that also propelled me to seek out those meaningful relationships and people who I could eat dinner with and make dinner with nightly, which is something I had really enjoyed doing with my husband. So that's one side that was definitely an adjustment when I came to Darden. And I know a lot of incoming students are facing the same possible challenges of leaving a significant other or being long distance. And so I'm here to tell you it's definitely doable. And then on the professional side, it was a little bit challenging for me because, as I mentioned, I'm interested in a what they call non-traditional career path in business school. And so I think from the get-go, there's a lot of professional activities that happen in the first two quarters that bond people together, because all the students who are going after the traditional career paths are attending similar events together on several nights a week. And I missed out on those. And I missed out on those conversations because I was not in that bubble at all. And so that was a bit of a challenge for me in the beginning. I had to really find different ways to connect with people when we're all here for our careers. And that's something that can connect us very easily. But that's not something that I really felt connected to the masses with. It forced me to find new ways to connect with people.
Now, those are both really, really good insights. You know, I think we've talked on the podcast with different career folks along the way, and they always talk about the importance of running your race, your own race, and kind of staying focused on what's important to you, particularly in that career space. As you know, there's company briefings and all this kind of stuff happening, it can be very easy to be pulled along in a lot of different directions, but important to know why you're here and what you want to get out of it.
Yeah, definitely. And I did a lot of reflecting the summer before I came to Darden, and whenever I talk to admitted students, that's the advice I give them, is reflect a lot, know what your goals are and be focused on that, but at the same time be open-minded to letting the experience change you, and be open-minded to any new opportunities that it presents.
So Enrique, how about you? What was the biggest adjustment for you coming, obviously, from the work that you're doing into Darden as a first-year student?
Yeah, I think the biggest adjustment for me was actually with time management, which is a big topic in business school in general, but I had a pretty quiet life before business school. You know, I worked the 8 to 5, the 40 hours, maybe a little bit more a week. But outside that, you know, my social agenda was pretty calm. And coming to business school, you have your class time, but then you also have the time to prepare for class. You have the time that you have to spend on recruiting, getting your resume ready and networking. You have extracurricular, like clubs you're involved, and then all the social events going on. So my agenda was always full, and adjusting to that was tough at the beginning. You know, figuring out that you can't do everything and you need to say no. and just some time management skills took a little bit for me. And then also is taking time for myself to stop back and reflect, because when you get busy, it's really hard to do that. So you really need to make that intentional. Otherwise, you just keep on the grind and then don't have much time to think about what's going on with yourself and with your mind and with your goals, and are you heading the right path?
That lesson of prioritization and what's most important is a really critical one, particularly as you're trying to juggle a lot of really, really challenging things, right? Being a first-year student at Dart and going through the core curriculum, it's challenging, the job, but it's, you know, obviously important. The job search and career process takes time, effort, energy, also important, and getting to know your classmates, social component, extracurricular aspects of being a Dart student, also important. So hard to do all of those things simultaneously. You got to figure out what's most important at any particular time. One of the things we've talked about here on the podcast recently, you know, we had Joanne Meyer on to talk about the transition to virtual classes here in quarter four for our full-time MBA students, and obviously for the Darden School generally, in the light of the coronavirus pandemic. I realize, you know, the quarter is drawing to a close here, but I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you about the experience of transitioning to virtual classes and what that's been like. Megan, how about for you? How has quarter four gone?
Quarter four has been much better than anticipated, and it's been really amazing the way that the professors have brought the energy into the virtual classroom. One of my professors, Peter Bellamy, he teaches Path to Power, and I have that class at 8 a.m. And he brings so much energy to the classroom, and he comes to class so prepared every day. He even has a meticulously beautiful background set up in his house so that when he's on screen in the virtual classroom, we feel like we're in a curated space as the in-person environment would be. And I'm so excited to wake up early and come to that class every day along with the 60 or 70 other people. And it's such a popular class. And I think the virtual experience has been just as good as the in-person experience has been. And something in general through all my classes I've been really thankful for is the case method, because this is our first quarter when we are out of our sections taking elective classes. And so the mixture of students in our classes is different, and there's some new faces who we may not know as well. And so I'm really thankful for the case method in the virtual setting, because it allows us to get to know our peers and hear their voices rather than just maybe listening to hours of lecture that it could be, you know, in another setting. So it's been really good. I've been pleasantly surprised.
What is Paths to Power about?
Oh, gosh. Maybe Enrique can talk a little bit about Paths to Power, but he's in another section of it.
Oh, wow, putting me in the spot. Now, Paths to Power is a very popular class here at Darden, and it challenges a lot of your assumptions. So I think one of the big lessons is like how it's a study of how people get to power and really challenge how your assumptions on that. So it's a very controversial class, and there's a lot of discussion and debate, and I think that's why a lot of people really enjoy it.
Well, I appreciate the cold call, Megan, calling on Enrique here in this podcast interview. I always just enjoy hearing people talk about the electives, because there's so many great classes you can take here. And Megan, I thought you made a great point about the interactive nature of the Darden experience. I think more transmissive model, lecture-based experience on Zoom would be really, really tough. Plus, one of the things that came up in the conversation with Joanne is just how much care and regard the faculty have for that classroom experience and their time with students. And it sounds like Peter is, no surprise, absolutely right there in terms of curating, you know, thinking about the final, those with finer point details and how he wants to run the class. So Enrique, What's your quarter four experience been like?
Yeah, I think Megan put it pretty well. I echo everything she said. My experience has been much, much better than I expected. I think for a lot of the reasons she said, you know, classes going virtual, from a student perspective, I think the biggest challenge is to stay focused and concentrated, right? How do you not get distracted with all the things around your house, with the phone and social media and all that? And I think the case method is a great way to kind of keep your attention, because you can be cold called at any moment and you don't want to, you know, be embarrassed in front of your friends and classmates. And it's just way more engaging, right? So I think it does, the case method has worked very well, even in this virtual setting. And I've had a great experience this quarter.
Enrique, any other tips you might share with students? You know, obviously we're waiting for a decision from the University of Virginia about the start of school, whether we'll be in person or virtual. But in a world in which we might have more virtual class, any tips or suggestions you might have for students about navigating this experience?
Yeah, tip on navigating virtual classes. I think the biggest one I'll give is to approach it as if it was an in-person class. So, you know, take your shower, you know, put on, you don't have to dress up on a suit, but, you know, put a nice outfit and sit on a desk. I think it can be a slippery slope if you start taking classes from bed and all that. So that's my biggest advice, you know, mentally prepare and approach the class as if it was in person.
That's great advice. Those rituals are really important, particularly as we spend more time at home and structure our days in these kinds of ways. Megan, how about you? Any tips or advice for students about navigating virtual classes?
Lots of coffee and snacks, which would also be my tip in the in-person classes too.
Always. We are a pro coffee, pro food podcast. So completely support more coffee and snacks for everyone. So let's talk about the Darden Student Association. We've had past DSA leadership on the podcast, which is always fun. Tell us your roles and what attracted you to your role. Let's start with you, Megan.
Sure. So I'm the DSA president, and I would say that I became attracted to this, to serving DSA through my love of Darden. In the past, I've sought leadership positions with organizations that I felt like needed a lot of change. But it's interesting to see the way that Darden has changed me, because I actually don't feel like Darden needs that much change. A lot of our goals this year are to maintain existing, you know, the way that Darden excels currently. But I was attracted to it because, like I mentioned, the community has just meant so much to me. And I feel like over the course of just a few quarters, I gained so much from this experience and I wanted to give back. And the community was a big part of that. I felt like I had a really good experience with the community, but I knew that there could be the opportunity to continue improving that for students, maybe international students or domestic minorities who may not have felt as instantly connected to the Darden community as I did, being a domestic, white female who's from here. And so, yeah, I wanted to find ways to make it so that everyone coming to Darden could have such an amazing experience that I've had. So that's what attracted me to serve on DSA. And I got really lucky that Enrique was willing to take this challenge on with me. And he's been a really amazing partner in crime.
Nice. Well, Enrique, how about you? What's your role and what attracted you to serving on the DSA?
Yeah, so my role is the executive vice president, so I'm the sidekick to Megan. And what got me excited, there are two components to this. One is similar to Megan. I had this amazing experience in my first year at Darden, which filled me with this sense of gratitude. And where after you feel that all that gratitude, your reaction is you want to give back, right? You want to help the next person. You want to have the incoming students who have the same experience that you had. So it's that opportunity to give back is one of the big reasons. On a more personal side too, I think, you know, at Darden, we talk a lot about stretching yourself and getting outside your comfort zone and challenging yourself to become a better person. And I've, contrary to Megan, which has done other leadership positions in undergrad and throughout her school academic career, I have never stepped into a role, especially such important as this. And I felt this was a great way to challenge myself and grow a lot from this experience. So I'm really happy that Megan asked me to run to the SA leadership with her, and I've had a tremendous experience so far.
Megan, were there other aspects of your platform? You had mentioned sort of building, sort of continuing to sort of advance the idea of an inclusive community where everybody feels like, you know, that they're supported and has this great experience. Other things that you and Enrique laid out as you were campaigning?
Yeah, definitely. So the first was, like you said, we wanted to strengthen the community and create a space where every student at Darden could feel welcomed and loved. And then we have two other characteristics to maintain and improve Darden's academic value proposition. And so as you know, Darden has maintained the number one academic experience for several years. And we think it's the best academic experience in the MBA has to offer, and we want to continue that and continue to maintain and improve that by working with professors and continuing to improve diversity in cases and that sort of thing. And then we also want to maintain and improve Darden's career value proposition. So people are able to get such amazing internships and jobs out of Darden, and we want to make sure that that continues. And as I've mentioned, a big passion of mine is entrepreneurship, so I'd love to continue to work to promote those non-traditional career paths like entrepreneurship, and the Batten Institute is one that I'm really close to, and I would love to continue to promote their mission at Darden. So those are some ways that we'd like to do that for all students at Darden.
Enrique, that's an ambitious platform that Megan just laid out. One of the things, though, that came up in a recent conversation we had for our admitted students with Scott Beardsley is leadership and heads of all these offices are very open to these conversations with students. And that may be surprising to some of our listeners to hear that the dean wants to hear from student leaders and welcomes these ideas, and that there's this collaboration between the DSA and school leadership. Has that been your experience?
Yes, for sure. I think, and that's one of our big roles, right, as DSA leaders, is to be the voice of the students and bring up any concerns to the dean and to the management at Darden. And they've been very welcoming. We have, there's a few ways to do that, but I think a great example is all the committees we have. So we set up committees ranging from like diversity to the education experience, and they will meet with senior leadership on a monthly basis to talk about, you know, some of the ideas and ways to improve regarding those specific topics. And any student can volunteer or apply to those committees. And the ability for you as a student to sit down with the dean or with some of the other people in the managed Darden goes to show that they're willing to listen to us. And whenever we do bring things up, and they act on it, which for me, it's one thing is to listen, the other thing is to act on it. I've had a very good experience so far with Darden on that.
So Megan, this is, as has been discussed, an unprecedented time, an unusual time, at least in recent memory. Also probably challenging to be a student leader with everybody kind of spread out around the world at their homes. As you think about building that kind of community esprit de corps, wondering how the DSA is approaching, you know, keeping people together at a time when people are sort of physically distant and apart from each other.
Mm-hmm. I love that you said physically distant, because we're talking, everyone's saying social distancing, but I agree, it's physical distancing and social closeness is our goal. It has been really challenging, honestly. When all the news broke that classes would be virtual, we were really unsure of what that would look like. And we thought it would be a huge negative impact on the experience. But as we've mentioned, it's been pleasantly surprising. And the community has just rallied together so much. And I mean, the first day of classes, when we got on Zoom and hit the gallery view and saw all the faces of our classmates, it was one of the best feelings in the world to see everyone's faces. So I think that community aspect has just continued to ripple throughout quarter four. And DSA has worked at this, but I think it's just natural that our entire student body is working at this to create virtual events to come together. Something that actually Enrique spearheaded was the virtual Darden Cup that we put on a few weeks ago. So because we're virtual, we weren't able to have our relay races as part of Darden Cup that typically happen in person during quarter four. And so we set up a virtual event that all the sections competed in using a workout app on their phones. And we competed to log the most distance, elevation, time spent, and participation. And we had hundreds of participants across all of the sections logging thousands of miles, thousands of feet of elevation. And that was a really cool way to see the community come together in a time when we are physically distant, but we remain socially close. So we're finding new ways like that to bring people together. And actually, our schedules are packed. I think a lot of people, when we found out that we would be virtual for Q4, we thought, oh, I'm going to have so much time on my hands. I'll be so bored. I'm almost busier than I was before, and not just because of DSA, but there are events that happen every single day that are so exciting, and people are getting so creative with it. So it's been really cool. And a lot of these events we're looking to continue, actually, even after the experience is no longer virtual, because they've been so much fun.
Enrique, let's talk a little bit more about some of the events that are going on. Virtual Darden Cup was really impressive to those of us on the admissions committee, knowing what a big deal Darden Cup is. For those of you who are just kind of wrapping your head around Darden and learning more about the community, a Darden Cup is a friendly competition between the sections, has many different events, everything from, relay races, as Megan described, to I think soccer has been included, as well as trivia, bowling, the list goes on. But it's a lot of fun, and to hear it, you know, sort of be able to hear that it was able to transition to virtual is really, really cool. So you want to talk more about some of that programming?
Yeah, of course. We're trying to brainstorm away. So there was two remaining Darden Cup events before this corona pandemic happened, and we went virtual. So I was trying to brainstorm how can we have an event virtually and still have the same, you know, participation and excitement around it. And I'm very passionate about fitness and a big runner and cyclist, so I'm very familiar with a couple apps that are out there, and I thought it would be a great way if we had a competition for a week long between the sections of what section can log the most miles and feet and of elevation and time spent. would be a great way not only to get everybody excited and about this event, but also to be become physically and mentally healthy. I think this is a time that, you know, a lot of people are going with the uncertainty are dealing with tough situations, and I think some physical exercise is helpful in all kinds of way, and also just being closer connected to the outdoors. Here in Charlottesville, we're lucky to have some great trails where you can go and be able to exercise safely in a physically distant way. And it's been out. I think we were all shocked. I got to give a lot of kudos to Alex May and Grace Jackson, which did all the execution and planning of the event. And I think even us were shocked of about the participation and turnout we got. You know, whenever you're planning a new event, you're always a little nervous, like, are people going to enjoy this? Are people going to participate? And to see, you know, I think was over 600 people, over 20,000 miles in total. It's shocking. And I think, as Megan mentioned, this is actually, you know, making us think, oh, maybe we can have an event like this even during normal times. Maybe we can still have it, certain events. So yeah, it's been one of the highlights of this quarter for me, for sure.
Megan, you mentioned there were some other events that have kind of cropped up over the past few weeks that DSA could look to potentially do in the future. Some, as Enrique mentioned, with Darden Cup, some things that you thought, gosh, maybe we can do this. Are there other examples that come to mind as you think about some of this programming?
Yeah, definitely. Well, one that comes to mind that's been really popular, my friend Harsha is a huge music buff and he loves Spotify. And so he created this new series that happens every Wednesday night, and it's called A Professor and a Playlist. And a professor, he chooses a new professor each week, and he or she puts together their favorite playlist, and they just talk through it. And it's almost like a radio show on Zoom. And it's so cool to hear these professors' stories and how their lives have integrated with music, and this thread that goes through music and the stories of their past, business and personal. And so that's been really, really cool. And I could definitely see something like that continuing into the future. There have been other events that we've done, like cocktail making classes, board game nights, or another favorite that of both Enrique and I is Humans of Darden, a group on campus that every student is a member of, hosts weekly events called Darden Stories, where students share really personal, meaningful stories in a safe space. And Darden Stories has been able to continue during this time, and that's been something we've been really thankful for. And it's actually even been better because more people have been able to attend Darden Stories and share those deeper connections that I think tend to be a little more difficult to establish in a virtual environment. So that's been something I've been really thankful that has been able to continue.
So glad you brought up Darden Stories. I always, you know, this is one of the truly incredible things that happens at Darden. Mattia Berra was on here talking about that a few episodes back, and just an incredible opportunity for people to, you know, to learn about each other, and the kind of vulnerability is not easy in a graduate school environment. It says a lot about the Darden community. I love this also idea of professor in a playlist. Why this isn't a podcast yet here on the Darden Podcast Network, I don't know. We're going to have to do something about that. That is such a great idea. Enrique, are you surprised by the creativity that you're seeing from your classmates here and the ideas that people are coming up with?
Yes and no. Well, no, because I know how creative people are at Darden. So my expectations high, and it's still been very fun to see all those types of events that people are coming up. And as I think we knew that, you know, our best when we're trying to figure out how, as a DSA, how to plan social events during virtually. We knew that we should rely on everyone's creativities and kind of let them host whatever event they would like to. And this, in leaving the ownership to them, has worked out well because it has let them to be creative and it's, and have way more events than Megan and I could have brainstormed ourselves.
Absolutely. I've been amazed by obviously what you shared here, but also what we've just sort of, what's filtered to us on the admissions committee and what we hear about, when I know we only hear a fraction of it. It's great to see people staying connected, making that effort to stay connected. I think it's a, says a lot about the community and the care and regard for one another. So some of our listeners may be wondering, you know, had Jeff McNish on to talk about the career landscape, what's going on with internships. I'm curious about your plans for the summer and what you've heard from your employers. Megan, let's start with you. Any update about your summer?
Yeah, I feel very fortunate that my summer internship is still on and will be happening whether it is remote or not. I am yet to know. So I assume that I'll be starting in June remotely. And if things clear up later on, then I think my internship has the flexibility that I could go in person out to Seattle. I'm interning with a small to mid-sized interior landscaping company out there. And so I think there's a bit of flexibility with that. But yeah, I feel very, very fortunate. And it's been nice. I'm actually interning with a company owned by a Darden alum. So I'm excited to continue to build that Darden network over the summer.
Nice. Have you always been interested in interior landscaping? I'm curious about that. I think you're probably the first person who's come on the podcast to say, this is what I'm doing.
Yeah. So. Well, my dad has been in landscaping since he was a teenager. I'm from South Florida. And so that's very popular down here. And so I grew up. It's funny, Enrique and I went to Costa Rica for spring break, and I was showing off all the trees that I knew the names of, and Enrique was like, how do you know all the names of these trees? And I said, oh, my dad, when I was young, would force us every time we went for a walk, he would point at a tree or a bush, and he would say, what kind of tree is that? And we would have to name it. So yeah, I think it's something that I've been interested in my whole life, but I was attracted to this internship because the company was bought through a search fund, which I may be interested in doing post-graduation. And I felt like the industry being a service company and then also having creative elements really fit in well with my personality and my interests. So I wouldn't say I've always wanted to go into interior landscaping, but it turns out that it will be a really good fit for me.
It certainly sounds like it. And for our listeners who are less familiar with search funds, not going to put you too much on the spot here, but do you want to tell everybody just what a search fund is and the kind of role that they provide?
Yeah, on a very basic level, you want to buy a small business, small to medium-sized business, but you don't have millions of dollars yourself. So you put together a group of investors who are willing to back you to search for and ultimately buy a company using their money. And you get a portion of equity and they get a portion of equity and you run the company as the CEO.
Excellent. Well, thank you. Thank you for that. So much good content here in this interview. Enrique, how about you? What will you be doing this summer? What's the latest?
Yeah, I'll be interning with McKinsey, so a consultant. And my internship, I got notified last week that it will be virtual. So adjusting to that. But the support from the company has been very good. And I'm excited. I'm still just as excited for my virtual internship as I would be for in person. And Yeah, I think it would be different, but it'd still be just as good as experience. And they have been doing very, very well in making sure we are prepared for it and taking any of our anxiety and concerns away.
Excellent. So Megan, we have prospective students who listen to this podcast who may just be starting their MBA journey or maybe preparing to come to school and get started this August in our class of 2022. Any advice for folks who are on their MBA journey? Any tips, suggestions you would share with them that you've acquired along the way?
Yeah, I think my biggest piece of advice would be to be open-minded to experience and to people. So in terms of experience, be open-minded to learn and expand the way that you think academically, professionally, personally. I've been more motivated in the past few months than ever to learn new hobbies. And that's something that I think this notion of being open-minded and the MBA experience really encourages, and that's such an invigorating feeling. And so I would definitely encourage that open-mindedness. Also, be open-minded to community. I know we've mentioned it over and over again, but I think it's the people in the MBA experience that make it so special. And the more that you open yourself to different types of people and different perspectives, the more that you'll get out of the experience by learning from other people and developing those connections. So it's an incredible experience. Just come in with an open mind to all of those things and you'll get so much out of it that you never expected.
Enrique, any advice from you for our prospective student listeners?
Yeah, sure. I have a couple advices. One, I guess if students are concerned in this time about if going to business school right now is a good idea or not, this is just my personal perspective, but I do think this is a great time to be going to business school. Take a step back, reflect on what you learned in your years in your career, and then be very intentional with your next step. And then with that said, I think if you're just starting to look into business school and start your application journey, I would encourage you to, before you look at any school, just do some self-reflection and on what are your goals, what are your values, and then stay true to yourself as you go through the process.
Megan, Enrique, thank you so much for your time today. We covered a lot of ground here on the podcast. It was great to learn more about you and everything that the DSA is doing. Thank you for all your efforts on behalf of the Darden community, and stay safe and good luck with your summer internships.
Thanks, Brett. So nice talking to you.
Thank you, Brett.
And that was my interview with two first-year students in our class of 2021, Megan Bailey and Enrique Lopez. As always, if you have any comments, suggestions, requests, anything you'd like for us to cover here on the podcast, we're all ears. We can be reached at Darden, that's D-A-R-D-E-N, at virginia.edu. And until next time, stay safe, be well, and thanks for listening.